Welcome to Since You Asked with Jim Barrier on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Send Jim your questions about the Bible and Christianity to jim@cgmradio.com. Subscribe to Since You Asked by visiting us online at cgmradio.com/ask. And now, here's your host, Jim Barrier.
We celebrate Christmas on December 25th. But was that really the day Jesus was born? Well, to find out, let's do a little Bible math. In Luke chapter 1, it says, "In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife named Elizabeth. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall name him John.'" Now back in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, we're told, "Descendants of Aaron were divided according to their offices for their ministry, for they were officers of the sanctuary and officers of God. The 8th division for Abijah." This was Zechariah's division, and would have occurred during the second half of June. Now back to Luke's gospel. "When the days of his priestly service were concluded, he went back home, and his wife Elizabeth became pregnant. Now in the 6th month of her pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus.'" Since Elizabeth conceived late in June, and this was the 6th month of her pregnancy, this would have been late in December. So maybe Jesus was conceived around December 25th, but he was most likely born 9 months later in September. This makes sense because shepherds would not have been outside in the middle of the night in the middle of the winter. Nor would Caesar have ordered a census when travel would have been most difficult. Now, let's finish the encounter Mary had with the angel, as it contains some very important details. Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For that reason also the Holy Child will be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth herself was conceived a son in her old age, and she who was called infertile is now in her 6th month, for nothing will be impossible with God." And the angel also appeared to Joseph and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you shall name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." I always like to point out that the angel didn't say, "He will save his people in their sins," or "He will save his people from hell." Jesus came to save us from sin. The virgin birth means Jesus was literally the Son of God. It is a fact that a baby gets his blood from the Father. This is why the blood of Jesus is so precious. He had his Father's blood flowing through his veins. Leviticus says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Jesus had his Father's life in him. Another thing to point out is that the genealogy in Luke differs from the one in Matthew. Matthew traces Joseph's family tree to David, while Luke follows Mary's descendants from David. Jesus was Joseph's son legally, and Mary's son physically, and God's son spiritually. Both lines are traced from David. According to Jeremiah, the Messiah would be a descendant of David. Isaiah says that he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah also proclaimed, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Now we begin this story with a priest named Zechariah. And speaking of priests, Hebrews 4:15 describes our high priest. "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with us and our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin." As important as the divinity of Christ is, we must also recognize the humanity of Jesus. Luke was a well-educated physician. He is the only non-Jewish writer in the New Testament, and his gospel focuses on the humanity of Jesus more than the other three gospels do. For instance, he is the only one who mentions the story of Jesus as a 12-year-old boy, and he gives more attention to the prayer life of Jesus and the healings he performed. Because he was a man, Jesus not only can sympathize with us, but he can empathize. He can feel our pain. He has walked in our shoes. He got hungry. He got thirsty. He got angry. He got tired. And he had close friends betray him. And he was tempted. In Luke chapter 4, it says, "Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he was hungry. And the devil said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread.' And Jesus answered him, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone.'" Notice the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tempted. This was right after John baptized him. The Holy Spirit in the form of a dove landed on him, and a voice came out of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." If your mountaintop experience is followed by a trip to the wilderness, you're in pretty good company. After 40 days without food, Jesus was hungry. I always thought this was the greatest understatement. 40 days? I mean, 40 hours would be a lot for me. Then he led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, "I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I will give it to whomever I want. Therefore, if you worship before me, it shall all be yours." And Jesus replied to him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Yes, Satan has authority in this world. Paul calls him the god of this world and the prince in the power of the air. He was handed this power by Adam when he and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. You know, I really don't like the phrase, "God has everything under control." If that's true, then he's doing a miserable job of controlling things. The world is dangerously out of control. Man has a free will, and God does not override it. It should be clear to anyone who reads history, the Bible, and current news that the human race is out of control. And on top of that, Satan has been manipulating people and power for thousands of years. and he uses his power to steal, kill, and destroy. And then he brought him into Jerusalem, and he had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will give His angels orders concerning you, to protect you, and on their hands they will lift you up, so that you do not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered and said, "It has been stated, You shall not put the Lord your God to test." Jesus could at any time enlist the help of angels. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said he could have called 12 legions of angels. But he faced the test and passed it. It is no small detail that he answered each temptation by quoting Scripture. Now, in 1 John chapter 2, it breaks down temptation into three categories: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. We find these three temptations in the Garden of Eden. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and that it was a delight to the eyes, the lust of the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, pride. Adam and Eve failed the test. Jesus faced the same three temptations, but without failure. Turn the stones to bread, the lust of the flesh. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world, the lust of the eyes. You're the Son of God, pride. Now, what about the genealogies? The New Testament begins in Matthew with the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. From Abraham to Jesus was 14 generations. The list includes Tamar. In Genesis 38, Tamar was the daughter-in-law of Judah, one of Israel's 12 sons. Her husband died, as did Judah's wife. While Judah was on a business trip, Tamar disguised herself as a prostitute and waited alongside the road. When Judah came by, he availed himself of her services, and she became pregnant, which later proved to be very embarrassing for Judah. Rahab, in Joshua chapter 2, Joshua sent 2 men as spies into Jericho, where they entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab. Not only was Rahab a prostitute, but she was a Gentile. By the way, she also found herself on a list in Hebrews chapter 11, which we refer to as the Hall of Fame of Faith. Ruth was the Moabite daughter-in-law of a Hebrew widow named Naomi. Moabites were descendants of Moab, who, when Lot's oldest daughter got him drunk and slept with him, she gave birth to Moab. Moabites worshipped the false god Chemosh. But Ruth was loyal to Naomi and followed her to her homeland, where she wound up marrying Ruth's relative Boaz. Bathsheba. Well, you know the story. David lusted after her, seduced her, then sent her husband on a suicide mission. Then he married her, and she gave birth to Solomon. The scripture says of this incident, the thing that David had done was evil in the sight of the Lord. And then finally, Mary, who was pregnant out of wedlock. So much so that Joseph wanted to send her away to avoid shame. In John chapter 8, the Jews implied that Jesus was illegitimate. Historians tell us that a first century rabbi would pray, "Blessed art thou, O God, for not making me a Gentile, a slave, or a woman. It is remarkable that these individuals are included in the messianic lineage. The genealogy of Jesus welcomes outsiders, sinners, people and stories that most family would try to hide from their records. But the gospel is for everyone, especially those who are unwelcome in other circles. The story of Jesus' birth begins by reminding us of this in the genealogies. Have you ever felt like you don't fit? Have you ever felt like a failure? Have you ever felt you're not good enough? If so, then you fit right into God's family. Jesus understands your feelings. Jesus was born for you. Jesus died for you. Why not ask God to make you a member of His family? Behold what manner of love the Father has given us, that we should be called the children of God. And we can become the children of God because Jesus was literally the Son of God.
Since You Asked is a production of Jim Barrier and Cross Global Media. Visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/ask.